It is an appalling thought. The teachings of Christ, the fundamental truths that he and other great souls have taught, the revelation that has been given, the works that have been done in this realization of God's will and purpose, that so much, unfortunately, has been obscured, so much has been misinterpreted, so much has been given forth that did not even emanate from him or others like him, that you have in your world such chaos among men that they themselves, unfortunately, cannot see only so far. It is as if they themselves, in their foolishness, like children, have lost the way. It is a pity, a great sadness to us. And as I look back over my life, I realize only too well how, in my own ignorance, though I thought I was a man of learning and experience, though I thought that I had truth, I realized that which I had was but an aspect, and that it had been, unfortunately, confined in such a way that it could only came into the world, indeed, to save sinners, but not in the way that is oftentimes interpreted. For man himself can only achieve greatness, spiritual greatness, by his own effort. No other individual can do it for you. Christ and others have pointed the way and set the example. And it is for us to follow in their footsteps and to become like them. But when we consider, as so often when on earth one does, that we are saved in the sense that these efforts of ours, puny though they are, have some effect and yet in themselves are pointless because another has been sent to do this, to make possible the salvation. Once we realize that we can throw ourselves upon another soul to be saved, then I am convinced that we have committed a grave error, indeed a sin, because I am convinced that whatever achievement, whatever effort we make, that in itself is an important thing. But we must endeavor, we must strive, we must struggle, we must overcome within ourselves. No one can do this for us. We must do it ourselves. We must follow the path that has been set. And if we do that, then indeed do we find salvation, but only through our own effort, not through the effort of another. This one, Jesus, so much has been spoken of, this great soul who came into the world in such a humble way and lived a life giving forth love, giving forth the realization of God's will and purpose in all the things that he said and did. He endeavored to show the only way to development of spiritual consciousness. The only way to find salvation was through service and through love, through putting oneself further and further into the background. In other words, become a vessel for greater souls, for greater teachings, for greater realizations of God's will and purpose. We are instruments, and when we realize that, when we realize how much can be done through us, how much we can give out, which so few ever do, although that we realize the true meaning and purpose of our lives, then we begin to see, then we begin to grow and expand, then we begin to become at least something like Christ. But to think that one person, that one soul, even though sent from the highest, can save us, is a fallacy.
Excuse me interrupting you. May I ask who is speaking?
My name probably to convey little or nothing to you. My name is Ing.
Oh, yes.
Ing?
Ing, Damon.
I was.
Oh, of course it conveys a lot to us.
I mean, you're teenage at my
apartment. Oh, of course.
Oh, teenage thoughts.
I am so anxious that Christ should be understood. Not in the narrow, creedal, mystical sense, but as a real, living, vital being, as indeed he is and was when on earth. A man who had the courage of his convictions, not a weak, namby-pamby, as some seem to visualize him, but as man of strength, of courage, of conviction. A man who today, if he lived, would probably be jailed because of his views, because of his strength, because he had the courage of his convictions. This man Christ is not the person that is picturized in the minds of so many, whose narrow conception is far removed from the reality. Christ was a man of action. Christ would have been called a revolutionary in your modern age. He would have been imprisoned. Maybe even, as in his own time, he would have been killed by the mob, because they would have none of him. Any more than today, if the real Christ came among you, you wouldn't have anything to do with him, in spite of all that the church teaches. The church themselves probably would be the first to crucify him again if they could. Because they do not like those who come with a message such as this. They are feared. They would be afraid it were of the devil. They would doubt it as they doubt even my words as I speak to you. Many who listen to my words will not accept me. Why? Because they are afraid. They are afraid that if they give up that which they hold, which they consider to be right, that I and others like me will supersede or take the place. They do not like to give up that which they hold so firmly to them, in spite of the fact that many, if they spoke the truth, deep in their hearts know there is much error in that which they teach and preach. I would say many things, but I will content myself by saying this, that Christ, if he were to come back among you, would be condemned by the very people who support and uphold him today. Christ did not come to make an easy path, because he knew, and we all know deep in our hearts, that he who would do God's will upon earth could not possibly find a path that would be easy. For it is a path far removed from man's conception of things. Man who has become so materialistically inclined. Man who, in his ignorance and foolishness, brings upon himself all kinds of suffering and misery. Man, because he will hold on to pride, considering these things more important than humility. Only those who are humble in spirit can see truth. It is not the brilliant minds, the great brains, not the high positioned that have the fullest aspect of truth. Invariably they know little of truth. They only have a small conception that suits their own particular way of life. We have seen it in so many ways. Often those who've had truth in the beginning, as they've progressed materially and had more power, more position, they've lost the path, they've lost the way. They've become immersed in the material conception of things, and they cannot uphold truth any longer, only as a facade, and that indeed is not real truth. It is only an aspect which has benefited them. It has not benefited them necessarily spiritually, but only materially. Indeed, they've used it as a shroud, for inside there is but death. I know my own experience, much to my regret, that many things that I preached, many things that I gave out as truth, and I sincerely believed for a long time that they were true, these things have held men back and still do. Unfortunately, life is eternal. No man dies. Even Christ himself said to the thief on the cross, "For today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He did not say tomorrow or next year or a thousand years hence, but today. The point is, my friends, that faith can make us whole, but we must have faith in a reality, not something which has no foundation nor basis. Christ himself was a great seer, a great prophet, a great teacher, and above all this, he was a great humanitarian. He was more perhaps than a socialist than any socialist could ever hope to be. Christ was not concerned with material wealth or position. He was not concerned with vestments, with temples as such. Christ even was human enough to lose his temper, as when he drove the money changers out of the temple. We must realize what Christ is, and particularly from your aspect, what he was when on earth. He was a man, not a myth. He was a man of reality, not a mystical creature, as the world would have you believe. And he was not God himself upon earth. He was, as I see Christ, a human being who came into the world in a normal way with the greatest power of man has ever experienced. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit, just the power of God himself. But he used that power in such a way that men flocked to him. There were many who were afraid of him. The established religion, those of the established church, those who considered that they were the wise ones, the men of position, because they realized that the things that he preached were dangerous to their position. And so it is that I believe sincerely today that if Christ were able to come back, if he were to come back in the material body and do the same works as he did previously, the first people to condemn him would be the church, and he'd be much better received outside of it than ever he would be in, because the people would flock to him. Those whose minds were open and ready to receive, and those whose minds were closed and held back by creed and dogma would be the first to refuse him. These things I am convinced about, that Christ himself was a man of great simplicity, a man of great piety, a man of great faith in the power of love, and had no consideration for the things of the earth. How many churchmen are there in your world today who can the truth say that they fall in with this conception? How many are they who seek place and position? How many are they who are attracted by vestment, by service, by the positions which they may hold? I say to you that Christ is found in the hearts of all men whose minds are open and sincere and anxious to understand and to see. Give me the child as Christ himself, gathering together the children around him, said, "For such is the kingdom of heaven." What did he really mean by that? When all around also were the adults, the grown men of stature, men of experience and worldly wisdom, what did he really mean? He meant that it is the childlike attitude, the childlike approach, the simplicity and the faith of a child that makes revelation and spiritual unfoldment and development possible. Not the prejudice, not the person whose mind is already formed and made up, and convinced in himself that he is right, others are wrong. The child-like attitude is important. Indeed, I'd go as far as to say it is vital. Until man can strip himself of his preconceived ideas and shake from himself the old beliefs and the old legends, until he can realize that he is within himself able to tune in to the highest, if only he will make it possible by the way in which he lives. If only he will think right, he will then act right and in consequence become right. I say to you that man, if he wants to become an experienced person in a spiritual manner and sense, if he wants to become truly spiritualized, he must shed himself of all these material conceptions. God is, but no man has seen God. God is a force of power, a driving force. It gives life to all things. In your world, nothing is lost. That which seems like death is but a dream. Man goes from one place to another. His thoughts are still there, and he himself is released from the material things which bind and confine him. And yet your world should be a place of experience, essential experience and development, and preparedness, as it were, for the great life yet to come. When man leaves your world, so often he does, with strong, fixed, prejudiced views, his task is difficult. He has to unlearn, as I did, many things, and has to become like the child, open-minded, full of the desire for real truth, full of the desire to progress. And oftentimes it's very bitter when you realize that for a lifetime upon earth you have given forth many teachings which have proved to be erroneous, untrue. When you realize that the fundamental faith which was true has been distorted beyond all realization. I am very conscious of all these things. Indeed, many are they with me who feel as I do. But if we could come back with our present knowledge, how differently we would think and act, and how differently we would speak. The church, if it is to survive, must rid itself of many of the old fallacies. It must band itself together in a strength based on truth. And it must not be afraid to stand as Jesus stood against the mob. It must be prepared at all times, no matter what the cost, to speak truthfully and act accordingly. And not be afraid of the reaction from various quarters. When the church gives forth Christ's teachings in its full intensity, then will it be rejuvenated, and then will it begin to climb upwards. When we see in your world miseries, the uncertainties, when we see the possibilities that could be such tremendous things that could come upon the earth and its peoples through their ignorance, when we realize you are in a sense on the very brink of disaster again after two world wars, and yet the church blesses the flags, blesses the guns, blesses the men in their uniforms, each nation accordingly. All this is contrary to Christ. Teachings of Christ, Lord, which he stood for, Prince of Peace. How can you be a subject of the Prince of Peace if you advocate these things? I say to you that man himself, in his blindness, has separated reaching out through his ministry once to your world, endeavoring still to help. But those who minister in your world, their ministry invariably and often is a great fault. I do not condemn, I do not blame, but I do say that they must look into their own hearts, and they must find again the Prince of Peace, and they must speak his words among his children, and they must stand firm together as one band, solid, in his service. While they are separated, while they wrangle together among themselves as to who is right and who is wrong, or their conception is right and this other one is wrong, while they think and act as they do, so will the churches gradually become more and more empty. Here and there among these peoples, there are good souls, kindly souls, sincere souls, endeavoring in their own fashion to do right. I know much good has come from the church, but I think often of what greatness there could be, and how much more could be achieved. And I say to all those who may listen to my words, whether they believe or whether they not believe what I say, or believe even that it is I who speak them, I say that you have within yourselves great opportunity to do God's will, to follow the teachings of the Master Christ, realizing his humility, so must you also be. And if you give up many other things which you know in your hearts are untrue, and seek him more and more, and become like him, and be like the children of whom he himself was so fond, if you can be like the child, with an open heart and an open mind, no strong preconceived ideas, if you have the faith of a child and the trust, then you can be led and guided, and out of all this evil can come a great good, and the world can be saved from itself, and you shall find the path of peace and progression. And we who come to you can link up with you again, and once again into your world can come truly the communion of the saints. Once again can you take communion in the truest sense, and you can become one with us, and together we can overcome evil, and together we shall find that peace which the world cannot find. But in our own time, with your help and our guidance, and the peace that passes all understanding, this indeed shall be made possible. The realization of God's will and purpose for his children, now and forever. My love and my blessing I give to all who listen to my voice. If I have said some things that seem hard, and if to some they seem impossible, and if to others they feel that that which I have said is at variance, I say to you, think on these things. Turn them over in your minds and in your hearts. Seek for truth and realize that on your very doorstep, knocking is Christ himself. Let him come in and make him a welcome visitor, and let him become part of your lives, and you shall then indeed become truly one of the flock, one of those whose task it is to do his will among his children. Yours is a great responsibility. Remember that if you are to do this work, to do it well, you must become like unto a child. I only wish that I could do more than I can do. I oftentimes have wished that I could return to earth and do my work again. So much would I do differently. And yet I know that in my own fashion, in my own way, I did as I felt right. We are often, unfortunately, too late. And yet, in a sense, it is not too late, for I'm able to return. personalities will concern yourselves with the text and the message, and let it become a reality in your hearts, that it may change your world, and indeed make it a place worthy of God's children. My love and blessing be upon you, now and always.